it's a pleasure for me to be at MIT. I speak before strange groups like the Los Angeles County Bar Association. I recommended that they begin with a moment of silence to think about their clients' problems so they could make it a billable hour. They hesitated for a second because they thought maybe we could. I also spoke at a skeptics conference. They're professional skeptics, not amateurs like us, but these are pros. And at that meeting, they had the amazing Randy and the amazing Kreskin. It was the first conference I've been to where there were two individuals with the first name of amazing, except that the amazing Randy was born with that. It's on his birth certificate, Amazing Randy. And whereas the amazing Kreskin adopted that name for show business purposes, he was born the obnoxious Kreskin. I also appeared in some straight venues. I was at Lincoln Center once when the other performers were Allen Ginsberg and Karen Finley. If you know Karen Finley, she's a brilliant poet and performance artist, but her reputation precedes her for shoving a sweet potato up her ass as part of her performance art. And Allen Ginsberg was very disappointed because he thought she was going to shove a sweet potato up his ass. So Ginsberg was involved with the Yippies from the beginning. We had a press conference in 1968 to announce that we were going to go to Chicago to protest the Democratic Convention. And at this press conference, I was speaking of the fact that the peace candidate then, Eugene McCarthy, would not want Allen Ginsberg to campaign for him because he had this long, scraggly beard. And they had this campaign called Clean for Gene. So a reporter asked me, he said, well, if it would end the war, would you cut your hair? And before I could answer, Ginsberg stood up and he said to the reporter, well, if it would end the war, would you let your hair grow? It was like a Zen koan. So after the press conference was over, a bunch of Yippie leaders went into the corridor of the hotel where the press conference was held and started having like a contest. Well, what would you do if it would end the world, end the war, or the world? One thing does lead to another. You know, would you cut off just your little finger if it would end the war? And people said, okay, yeah, I would consider that. I would do that. That would be worth it. And it went up and up, escalating, until finally Ed Sanders said, well, would you go down on a terminal leper if it would end the war? You know, he won. You know, it was, thank you, Mr. President, and we didn't go any further after that. But I was at a memorial for Allen Ginsberg, and there were a lot of people there, including Hunter Thompson was supposed to be there. He didn't show up, but the guy who played him in the movie, Johnny Depp, showed up, dressed like Hunter Thompson. And I had been hoping that not only Johnny Depp would be there, but Hunter Thompson and also Bill Murray, who played Hunter Thompson in another movie. So the three of them could just stand there, and somebody could say, will the real Hunter Thompson please fall down? But that was just wishful thinking. But a lot of countercultural figures have died in the past couple of years. Tim Leary was another. He had been planning to have his head frozen, not just the whole body, but just the head, figuring that the technology someday, probably from a student here at MIT, would enable them to clone from the tissue of his head when it was possible to do so. And of course, if that failed, they could always use him in celebrity bowling, so nothing would be wasted. Shortly before he died, just a couple of weeks, he met the people, the cryonics people, who were going to freeze his head, and he said they had no sense of humor, and he didn't want to wake up in 50 years to see a bunch of guys standing over him with clipboards. So he decided that he would have his ashes, I think 7% of his ashes, sent up in a rocket that would orbit the Earth. That would be a way to go. So I asked him, well, if it's only 7% of your ashes, can we have the rest of them to roll some marijuana joints mixed with your ashes so that your friends and family could pass you around and smoke you? And he thought for a second and he said, okay, but just don't bogart me. Just a slight precaution there. The stand-up comedy union requires me to have at least one mention of Viagra. So I'm just going to do that now just to pay my union dues. But the thing that intrigued me about Viagra was that Bob Dole was in the early experimentation. So they had to get some of the kinks out of Viagra. And at one point, they gave him some of these little blue pills, and he ate them. He didn't get an erection, but his right arm shot straight up like that.